everybody. Welcome to Steelers.com Live at 4. I'm Missy Matthews, joined today by Tunch Ilkin of the Steelers Radio Network and Bob Labriola of Steelers Digest and Steelers.com. Not really an intriguing practice report today, guys, because everybody practiced except for Marcus Wheaton, who's already been ruled out for Sunday. So kind of a good sign, though.
Yeah, boring. In this particular instance, boring is good. And, it is. I was pleasantly surprised by the fact that, all the walking wounded participated fully. It's only Thursday. Sometimes you have to wait till Friday for that.
They didn't even wear pads out there. I mean, everybody should practice. It's not like they're bumping into each other out there. Oh, my goodness. Everybody should be out there on a practice field.
All right. Well, let's talk about Oakland and Sunday's game and the fact the Steelers are going into the black hole where they haven't exactly had the best of luck as of late. So let's take a listen first to Ike Taylor and his description of what it's like to play there.
The black hole is the black hole. The tradition, just saying, the fans dress up on Monday Night Football. Every time it's a home game, it's looking like Halloween. And if I'm another player from another team, I don't want to jump into the stands because I don't know if I'm getting back out.
Is it fun to play there, though? It's always an atmosphere?
Yeah. Yeah, it's different. It's all the way different. Even driving into the stadium, them fans ain't playing with you. They looking at you like you about to drive into, like you about to go to jail. That walk, that drive, going into that bus to jail, it's not a good feeling. And just going into that kind of stadium, it's like that kind of feeling. They're passionate for their team, regardless on whether the record is. And it's been like that. Whether they playing good or bad, the Oakland fans going to be Oakland fans.
Sounds like an intriguing place to play, high atmosphere, similar to Heinz Field. Tunch, what's been the, if you could pinpoint something, why have the Steelers not played well there?
You know, Missy, and I can't, but right there you're seeing one of the differences in last year's game, McFadden's touchdown. Steelers just did not do a good job of playing gap sound defense on that. Here's the thing, you heard what Ike's saying, but part of that was planned. It's interesting to play in Oakland. It's not like you're really scared. But there are a lot of great visuals. Yeah, and especially this week is the weekend prior to Halloween. I think the Road Warrior costumes are up the notch. I think the Darth Vaders are up the notch. I think every type of ugly black and silver outfit you could see will be out in full force. But what's really cool about that place, Missy, is that there's a lot of history there. And, there have been a lot of very, very big football games, especially back in the 70s and 80s, played on that field. I think that's what makes it such a cool place to play.
You know, I'll tell you what Ike mentioned. It's like the bus ride into jail. It was when you were playing the Raiders in the L.A. Coliseum.
Right.
That was scary.
Yeah.
Where that facility is. And you combine that with the Raiders fans.
Right.
I was there one time for one of those games in 1990, I think it was. And, it was scary.
Well, Al Davis, we used to say that Al Davis would sabotage us. Because, Chuck was big on going out to teams on the road and to play, to have a practice on the field. He used to say, you got to get the flight out of here, the bus ride out of here. So we'd fly into a city and we'd go practice. One time we get to the Coliseum and it's locked. We can't get into practice. We're out of the buses and we're already dressed. We climb over the fence at Southern Cal because USC is not too far from the LA Coliseum and we're practicing over there. Another time we got over there was no hot water and so nobody could shower. And every time something would go wrong, someone would yell Al. And then there was rumors that he used to bug the locker room, and they'd have cameras, secret cameras in the locker room, and so Ray Pitty would always go, "We'll be starting with the toss trap, Al," and so we always had a lot of fun when we went over there.
All right, well, when you talk about the Oakland Raiders of today, you have to talk about Terrell Pryor, and Dick LeBeau gave a little insight on what he's been seeing from the young quarterback.
Coach, what kind of problems does a guy like Pryor present, and do you defend him any differently than, say, you did with Robert Griffin last year?
I think they're similar people. They can beat you with their arm and with their legs. So from that standpoint, the problem is the same. they're running a lot of the same type of plays. Been a long time since we played Washington, but we did get to play against the offense a little bit in New York against the Jets. And their quarterback's very athletic, too. I don't think he's had the ball-carrying experience that Oakland's quarterback has had, but we're hoping there'll be some carryover there for us.
With his size, is there any does it make a difference trying to be physical with him as opposed to maybe like you did maybe with RG3?
Well, they're both pretty big, and you know, Oakland's quarterback's bigger than any
right.
of those other guys, and he's, as I recall, he didn't lose too many games in college because of that. They couldn't get him on the ground. It's definitely going to be one of our big challenges. When he does keep it, to get him on the ground. He's like having another tailback in the game, really. He's a great athlete.
Do you think players sometimes just underestimate his speed because he's so big and he looks so effortless when he's running?
I think maybe at one time that was true, Scott, but I think he's done so well and they've seen him on so many videos run away from people. I think they realize, you know, and he ran his time over in Indianapolis for the world to see. So I don't think it's any secret. He may not look that fast, but we all know he is.
All right, Tunch, talk about the read option and what Pryor's been doing.
You know, Missy, it's kind of interesting. Dick LeBeau was asked, do people underestimate his speed? Because everybody knows his speed, but he does. It's kind of funny when you watch him run, he doesn't look like he's very, very smooth, and he's a long strider, and he doesn't look like he's moving fast. But then just you notice that he's outrunning everybody. He runs a lot of the read. They run a ton of read option. I think he's got 44 carries or something on the year. The only thing, though, Missy, is I don't believe he's really reading it. I believe either he's really bad at the read option, or he's already determined who he's going to hand the ball off to. Sorry. I had a little something in my throat. But, you know, what they'll do is they'll run the read option, then they'll run sweeps with them. They'll pull the guard and the tackle labs. They'll have the tailback and the fullback out in front of them. And they'll run like a sweep with him carrying the ball. So it's one more blocker
right.
for the running back. The other thing they'll do is they'll run a quarterback draw with him, which he does very nicely. Another thing they'll do is they have a couple of plays where he'll actually sprint option to his right, sprint, throw, run, throw option. And the thing about that makes it very difficult is he throws well on the run to his right, not to his left, but he throws the ball well on the run to his right. So if you don't plaster the coverage, he's going to dump the ball down the field.
Talk about Darren McFadden, Tunch. He's not the leading rusher on the Raiders this year. It's actually Pryor. So what's the difference between him last year and this year?
Well, I just think that the offensive line hasn't been playing all that well. I think Darren McFadden doesn't look any different. He's still got the speed to break, and he still runs with power, and he's just not getting out like he was. They also got Rashad Jennings, who's their backup running back. The guy that I like, though, the best is Marcel Reese. He's their H-back fullback. They will run him at tailback some. I mean, he's the guy that, number 45, when you watch the game, Missy, look for, I mean, if I'm the Raiders, I try to get the ball in his hands either in the passing game, in the running game. McFadden, though, is the home run hitter. He still has the ability, and this is what you have to watch with him. You know, he'll go 3 yards, 4 yards, 2 yards, and you'll start, you know, you'll stop him. But if you fall asleep on him, it just takes one guy to overplay a gap, and he is to the house.
You know, Tunch, you mentioned the Raiders' offensive line. I mean, when you look at their two tackles, Khalif Barnes and Tony Pashos, I mean, those are cast-offs.
Yeah, well.
They are.
Right.
And, you know, they may be trying to, you know, rebuild that to some degree. You know, their one rookie, Watson, he was a first or second round draft pick for them. He's an offensive tackle, but, you know, he hasn't been playing too much. But, you know, where the Raiders are in terms of their tackles, you know, I don't know that the Steelers are any worse off at that particular position than the Raiders.
No, I take our guys. I take our guys right
now
over the Raiders. Yeah, there's no, you know, I know Khalif Barnes is probably the better of the two tackles. He's, you know, he's not a bad pass rusher. You know, he's one of those, your pass blocker. He's one of those guys, good feet, getting the guy's way, but not a great pass blocker either.
All right, let's talk about the Steelers' offensive line today. Todd Haley gave them a glowing review for their performance against the Baltimore Ravens. He also talked about Guy Wimper stepping up.
No, I thought he did a good job. You know, that's our motto around here, is next guy up. We've obviously had some shuffling on the offensive line, and, you know, I thought he stepped in and did a commendable job.
He's played over
helped
there
us win
quite a bit the last couple of years, correct? Is it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's a guy that one of the reasons we're excited about making him a Steeler was that he, you know, he had some notches on his belt. He'd started a bunch of games in the NFL, and, you know, so we knew there was experience there and obviously ability.
What did you see out of DeCastro last week that you liked?
You know, I thought the entire line played probably their best game of the year. You know, we obviously need them to keep getting better and keep coming together and playing like that. But David was a big part of that. You know, I thought he played, you know, you could go right down the line and probably say all of them played their best game of the year to this point.
All right, Tunch, that's Todd Haley's take. What's your take on the O-line from Sunday?
I was so impressed. I mean, you look at Guy Wimper working against Elvis Dumervil. He did a great job. I think that the thing, when a guy who hasn't been starting goes in with the other four, sometimes, you know, there's usually a drop-off or they seem out of sync. That wasn't the case with Abdullah the Butcher, man. He just fit right in. He did a great job. And Missy, I'll be honest with you, both he and Kelvin Beachum played very, very well. Not only in the passing game, they did a great job of protecting, but they did a great job of coming off the ball and run blocking. And I like this matchup against the Raiders for the Steelers offensive line. I think last week was a great building block, and I think you can take it to the next level this week out in Oakland.
Yeah, the only thing, to me, there are two issues, and these are only potential issues. I don't know that either one of them are going to definitely manifest themselves. The game against the Ravens was a home game. You have the ability to hear.
Right.
You will not have that in Oakland. And the other thing, penalties. I mean, it just seems to me that when the Steelers have played in Oakland lately, they have sidetracked themselves a lot with penalties. Penalties that really took big plays nullified big plays, or in the one case last year of the punt return for a touchdown, took points off the scoreboard. They can't have that.
You know, there's a good way to remedy that. First thing, you jump on these guys early, take the crowd out of the game. You know, fun and theatrical as the Raiders fans are, they're just like any other fans. You take them, you jump on them early, they're gonna quiet down.
I agree with you. I just don't know if the Steelers are explosive enough to put up two or three touchdowns early. We haven't seen the big splash
right
plays defensively to help the offense set those kinds of things up, nor have we seen, well, we did see a return for a touchdown, but Emmanuel Sanders was ruled out of bounds. I still don't know whether he was or not. But those are the kind of things you're going to need, I think, to get out to that lead you're talking about.
Well, you know, Levs, and it's not necessarily a lead. I think another thing that takes the crowd out of the game is ball control, sustaining clock and ball control, because fans eventually can lose interest, lose enthusiasm, especially
right,
depending on how long they spend tailgating pregame. Guys get out of shape on long drives.
Darth Vader doesn't tailgate, does he?
And you see those guys huffing and puffing. They lose some of that vim and vigor.
All right, let's talk about Oakland's defense. And, Tunch, I know you just recently watched a lot of their film in Charles Woodson. What have you seen from their secondary?
Well, you know, the thing is that Charles Woodson is just so impressive to me. He's, you know, in his 16th year, he's still playing very physical. Normally, a 16-year veteran free safety does not come up in run support the way Charles Woodson does. He's a very, very physical player. He's still terrific in the back end. He has a knack for finding the ball. He's also a decent blitzer. Sometimes they'll put him on the end of the line. They'll bring him off the slot on blitzes. You watch the Raiders' defense on first and second down on what we call neutral downs, run pass. They run a lot of 34. There you see Houston celebrating a sack. He's their best pass rusher. Sometimes he's down in a three-point. Sometimes he's up as an outside linebacker. Sometimes he's down as a defensive lineman. They kind of use him in different ways. Remember last week, Missy, we talked about how the Ravens morphed from a 4-3 to a 3-4. These guys do it the same way. A little subtle difference. They go to a 3-4 under to the weak side. But when you get in third and long situations, these guys run some very, very exotic blitzes. They have that amoeba defense where, you know, they got eight guys walking around. Sometimes they'll bring seven. Sometimes they'll bring six. They run a nice kind of an interesting stack where you don't know where they're coming from. So they do a lot of things with that defensive coordinator, Jason Tarver, who they call the mad scientist. So the thing about these guys, you want to win on first down. If you get an alert third and long situations, it could be an all-day sucker.
Is this a tougher test than the Ravens?
No. No, I don't think so. The Ravens just bring so much more talent. These guys, the closest thing they have to a dominant pass rusher is Houston, and he's not dominant. He's just good. They had two dominant pass rushers with four good pass rushers last week in against Baltimore. The only thing, the only problems that you could have in this game, Missy, is if there's some indecision.
Well, and the other thing, you know, comparing it to the Ravens really like to beat the Steelers.
Right.
And so, you know, the Raiders, they want to win and they're confident they can win, all of that stuff, but it's not the same as the Ravens,
right,
especially in Pittsburgh. So the Steelers, I don't think, are going to have to, you know, it's one of those like, you know, the Monty Python, but cut off his legs and his arms,
yeah,
and the guy kept coming.
Wound, yeah.
Yeah, right. I don't know that the Raiders, you know, are going to be that dedicated,
yeah,
to the task if things go poorly early. You know, the Ravens, it's you got to put the wooden stake through their heart.
60 minutes, yeah.
Okay, that'll do it for us here today on Steelers.com Live. For Tunch and Bob, Missy, thanks for joining us. Labs Pursuit and I will be here tomorrow at 4 to play Let's Face It and take your questions on Twitter. We'll see you then.